Todd Villain.
I warm it up like Kane in his prime. Up with us, you insane in the mind. You cowards way out of line. Money talk, boy, you wasting my time. You don't want to put the work in. You just want to taste the shine. We'll talk, so it's hard.
I lead it off like Kane in his prime. That's why in Burn Hollywood Burn, I told Ice Cube, I said, I don't know why he didn't come out first. Burt Breer is going to join us from MMQB in just a moment. But first, Reg, something very exciting happened yesterday.
Right around 7:15, right before kickoff, I was sitting in the car listening to Chris Gasper and Mark Bertrand do the pregame show. And at this point in the broadcast, they were not where they normally do the broadcast. They were down on the field with their headsets on, speaking to several of the people, and out of nowhere, we got ourselves a little gift.
There's a lot of people that this is the first time, or maybe the only time, they get to come to the stadium.
And there are plenty of people here, and it is August in New England, so.
Is he behaving?
What's that?
Is he behaving?
To the best of his abilities.
Huh?
To the best of his abilities.
How you guys doing?
Robert.
Is he behaving?
RKK.
Is he behaving or what?
Is everyone doing okay? He's like the maitre d' at a restaurant. How's the
Does
pasta?
Anyone need a lemonade?
You enjoying the pasta rangoon over here? All right, everything good? I'll be over here. I'll get you lemonade.
Anyone want a hot dog slice?
You like it, right?
You like it, right?
Kraft Patriots owner with us here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're doing well. How about you?
Football's back.
I'm very excited. Are you?
Do you smell mothballs? Those are loose old man farts.
You smell the mothballs? Is that what you thought he said?
Those are loose old man farts.
It just got us falling out.
They're the ones that go...
Very.
You must be. You must be excited.
Smiling, so I had to crash the party.
All right, very good. You can crash the party anytime you want. Robert Kraft swinging on through here on Patriot.
Quite literally swinging on through, yeah.
It was like...
Any of you guys want to swing around, you know?
There's a crew behind with five guys snapping their fingers.
Anyone got a lighter so we can get this garbage can on fire?
Here on Patriots Preview. That's not bad.
That's not bad. He made it quick. I had a Brady question all queued up.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
You want to ask him?
I was just about to go.
You missed your chance. I thought you were going to jump in there and ask it.
Yep.
Yeah, there's like 1,000 questions you could have asked, but they just let him cut out and just do a drive-by. Like, is everybody okay? I hope you're enjoying your dinner this evening.
Anyone need a lemonade?
If I get you something, I'll get you a lemonade.
You should kind of envision him being trailed by a doo-wop group, you know?
Well, that's what happens. He goes walking up.
You know, I was in Sha-na-na.
There's five guys. There's one dude with a tight T-shirt flexing his muscle.
That's Bowser. He's cool. He's all right, baby. All right.
Kraft's got a leather jacket that says demons on the back.
No, the demons wore satin jackets. They were our enemy. We were the lemonades.
Did this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
We would hang out at the gyms. It was all malt shakes, lemonades, and hot dogs.
Hogwash.
And a bunch of hog. We talk hogwash.
Robert, did the demons ever beat you in a rumble?
Hogwash.
Burt Breer, traveling as always.
Cool with me.
He's kind enough to join us on the phone. Burt, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was actually standing close to that. I didn't see it happen. And I can tell you this, to take the Major D's into the next level, he was sort of dressed like one, too. He had, like, the electric blue jacket on with, like, a very carefully placed pocket square. So you hear that, it kind of matched the way he looked, too.
I'm like Debbie Gibson, electric blue.
What?
That's a song. Look it up.
Okay. So the way you describe it, it makes it sound like he was dressed like the Joker.
But there is like an eccentric rich guy look that is sort of like the Joker, so maybe that's what he was going for.
Okay, yeah, right. Listen, I got a bone to pick.
Now he's Chachi all of a sudden. He's turned into Chachi.
Hey, Riddler, let's get together and make a riddle.
All right, one question they could have asked Robert Kraft is, what is going on with that $5 million incentive contract for 1 year that Tom Brady got? Am I the only one that looked at that and said, this is extremely weird?
You know what? I think, Rich, it's a Band-Aid. And it's a sign that they weren't able to get something more substantial done. You know, it's a lot of people have looked at Brady and seen it a little differently than Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but they're in the same position. They both have 2 years left on their deal. This is generally when quarterbacks get extensions, and so my first thought, the first thing that popped in my head was they were unable to come to an agreement on an extension. And the tough thing about that, guys, is that means now you're going to go into 2019 with Brady going into a contract year, no quarterback of the future on the roster until at least April, and the market may have changed quite a bit between now and then, considering I think it's a pretty fair bet that Rodgers is going to wind up making $32 or $33 million a year. So that's just the way I saw it, that this is sort of a failure to get an extension done, and it's not going to be any easier to get one in 6 or 7 months.
But on top of that, don't you find it strange that there was no money added to next year? This to me just seems like we're going year to year with you, and we'll figure it all out next year.
Generally, though, Rich, they haven't given players just flat-out raises without adding years. I mean, you saw what Gronkowski, I think if you go way back in the day, they may have done it for Richard Seymour like 12 years ago, but generally they won't give a player just a flat-out raise. It'll either be an extension or it'll be incentives. Now, that said, my understanding is that a lot of these incentives are going to be pretty easy for him to reach. And so, the fact that it's an incentive, some of this stuff I think is basically just in there as a matter of policy and saying, you know, if you're under center for X amount of snaps and playtime incentives are pretty easy to reach if you're a healthy quarterback, then he's going to get his money.
Okay, so the workload's been very light for Brady this preseason. Now the report is that he's got a bad back. How much of his them laying back on him in training camp do you believe is involved? Does the back have to do with it?
I think part of it's been planned, that he has gotten, you know, some veteran time. And it's obvious that, like, when a player gets a certain age, you want to pace them through camp. That said, the fact that this back thing is popping up now isn't a great sign, considering that he's older and back issues tend to linger. And so, if you were being careful before he tweaked his back, you're going to be really careful now. I still think they need to see him at some point in the preseason just because there's so many new receivers out there. But if you have a back issue in August, those things can linger, and it makes sense to be careful with them.
John Wallach had a statement that has garnered a lot of controversy. He says that the team will not be as good without Tom Brady.
That's not what I said at all.
That's pretty good, Wallach.
That's not what I said at all. Watching Brian Hoyer last night play, I mean, there are people around here that think even if Brady gets hurt, you can plug Hoyer in, win 9, 10, 11 games.
No, and you go said win 10 or 11.
All right, 10 or 11 games and win the division.
I'd like to meet these people.
Yeah, and that's
one of them's the Johnny Wall game.
That's the thing. Watching Hoyer last night, you can see that, boy, if Brady's not available for any game, they're in a mammoth amount of trouble.
Now, Bert, does that make you want to hire him?
Hire Wallach?
Yeah, he's got that take.
I mean, so his take was that before last night he thought Hoyer could win 10 or 11 games, and now he's convinced that he can't?
No, I think there was never mind, guys. This is just not going my way here. It's not going my way. I think you understand what I said. It's just how Fred frames it that makes it look worse.
Look, I don't – forever, Tom Brady has been their margin for error on offense, and I think – You can see some of the things they're working for with the signing of Eric Decker, with, you know, moving guys around. It's just they're clearly not settled at the skill positions on offense outside of Gronkowski. They're dealing with the looming looming suspension for Julian Edelman. I think that this is one of those years. It feels like one of those years where it's, you know, Tom, you're going to have to make up for some deficiencies. And I think that goes for both sides of the ball. And that's what's so interesting about the position they're in going into the season, because they got a 41-year-old quarterback, and they're going to be asking him to kind of help them figure it out at least early on and maybe through the season. And, I mean, they've been there before. 2006 is a great example of it. 2009 was another example of it where, they had either injuries or they had deficiencies in the skill positions, and Brady was able to lift them up. Again, it'll be really, really interesting to see a 41-year-old quarterback have to do that. He's always been able to in the past. And, I mean, I think last night, you know, and really the last few months, there have been signs that this is going to be one of those years.
All right. Well, Bert, if you wouldn't mind doing one more segment with us, we'd appreciate it. I know you got to get on a train at 7:30.
Yeah, sure. Just to warn you guys, if there's any weird noise or anything like that, then that's what that is.
Well, it's probably someone making a hot dog slice. You like that, right? All right. Thank you. Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer from the MMQB. Kind enough to join us. Now, Bert, there were other games yesterday, and Baker Mayfield seemed to impress. What did you get out of that?
Well, I think we saw a lot of what we saw at Oklahoma. I've had a few coaches tell me that he was the most accurate quarterback they've ever evaluated coming out of college. And some of the touchdown pass to Joku, you saw it. It was like a comeback he threw to, I think it was Callaway against the right sideline. You saw just the feel that he has for everything out there. And if I'm a Browns fan, I'm pretty encouraged because, you know, I think the question really was coming out of the offense he played in at Oklahoma, how much of what he did was going to translate. And I think we saw a lot of things translate. And he did look like a fish out of water in the NFL. The way he moved around the pocket, the way he kind of manipulated things for a shorter guy, it didn't look totally unlike Drew Brees out there. So lots of good signs for him.
All right, is Dez Bryant going to – what are the chances of him being a Brown? Because I saw yesterday he hopped on Twitter, and it sounded like they had reached out to him, and he just was ignoring them, and now he's finally going to go out there because everyone's talking about the Browns.
Yeah, it was a really, really strange Browns game. I think it was 10 days ago, and I asked about Dez, the one person, and basically the response I got back was exactly what John Dorsey said yesterday, which is we need him to pick up his phone before we can sign him. They were interested in kicking the tires on him. And actually, when that tweet went out yesterday, I touched base again with somebody with the Browns, and they told me they still hadn't heard from him. So he actually figured that out.
Well, that's how he's responding, is on Twitter. That's how he's getting back to them.
I guess that was the way he's responding. So, guys, it's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, do we really want to bring the circus with him? He's not a great player anymore. Now, John Dorsey does have a personal relationship with Dez, which should help here, but it just sort of underscores the little extra that you bring on when you sign a player like that.
All right, Bert, Buffalo played Carolina yesterday or last night, and I found the pregame stuff between Kelvin Benjamin and Cam Newton really interesting, and the other side show to that was Josh Allen's first pro game, your opinions on both things.
Oh, on the first one, I should give Cam some credit here. I know it looked a little ridiculous, but at least he's not firing back at the guy on social media. or doing something of, you know, passive aggressive at a press conference or something like that. He's actually going and confronting the guy, which I have some appreciation for. So I actually don't mind the way Cam handled that face to face with the guy. It just so happens the cameras caught it. As for the second piece of it, I mean, Josh Allen looked exactly like I think a lot of us expected that to look like, you know, coming out of Wyoming, which is, you know, the arm was there. There was a throwing lead down the middle. It was just, I mean, it looked like it came out of a jug machine. There was another one earlier in the game. He got downfield. And, the thing is, the accuracy still needs to, and, you know, he still needs to prove that he's got the head for the game and he's going to be able to kind of progress from what he was at Wyoming. So, I mean, he's a talent. He also sees.
Barkley was really impressive. He had a 39-yard run, the first handoff of the game. What do you make of that Giants pick? I mean, you know, they stuck with Eli and they went with a running back, which is controversial. Just how special is he, and do you agree with that pick?
I think, like, he can – so I the first part of it, do I agree with the pick? I think there's a new prospect for what a running back is in the NFL. It's kind of given new life to the position, and that's – you know, a 230-pound guy who can play all three downs. That's what Todd Gurley's become. That's what Zeke Elliott is. That's what Phil Mixon with the Bengals is. And I think that's what Saquon Barkley is going to be. It's a guy you can use in more ways than one. You don't just hand the ball off to him. And he's big enough to play between the tackles. And so, I think it's good value because, you know, with running backs, you get the prime of their career while they're still on their rookie contracts. And the really interesting thing about it is, you know, instead of replacing Eli, which they could have done with the second overall pick, they've instead tried to bring in a guy who they think can extend Eli's career. If you go back to what Zeke Elliott did for Tony Romo 2 years ago, was supposed to do for Tony Romo 2 years ago, the Cowboys brought him in thinking, we're going to take the load off of Tony Romo's shoulders. We're going to make things easier on him, and Romo gets hurt, and Zeke winds up doing that for a rookie in Dak Prescott. I think the concept here is the same, is that, you know, we can't count on Eli Manning to throw for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns at his age. But if we can take some of the load off of his shoulders and ask a little bit less of him, maybe we can extend his career. I think Saquon is capable of doing that for the Giants. And, you know, it's a good chance, too, for the Giants now to really get a better idea of what Eli's got left.
All right, Bert, where were you broadcasting from post-game last night? Because I saw you on TV. It was you, Michael Holly, and Troy Brown. Where was that your desk was set up?
Toby Keith.
Okay.
It was an interesting crowd behind us.
Okay, which is great, because one of my favorite things after a big, like, Celtics or Bruins, like, playoff win back in the day was when you would turn on NBC Sports Boston and people would be going nuts outside banging on the window. Do you realize that if you guys continue to broadcast from there, that's going to be insane? Like, there's no division between you and the Toby Keith's I Love This Bar crowd.
I know. I'm actually interested to see how that goes. Because when I walked in there, there were like these curtains up that were blocking the set. So I was like, I did pregame from the field because I had to go see some Redskins people. And so I walk in there. It's probably 5 minutes left in the game, and there are these just giant curtains that are blocking off the stage. So I'm like, oh, this makes sense. They're separating us from the crowd. And so I go back into like this green room they have set up. And I come out and the curtains are gone. And I look out into the crowd and there's like, you know,
bunch of drunk guys.
You guys can imagine the type of people that are hanging around.
They're the Patriots.
after a preseason game. Like, that's a commitment to getting hammered right there, right? Like, as if you're hanging out after a preseason game that late on a Thursday night. So
right, it was a bunch of dude in Gronk jerseys shooting freedom rockets and like vomiting on each other.
Yeah, I mean, the people who are committed to being there after a preseason game, those people are going to be blacked out when the regular season comes along. So it should be interesting.
Well, I'm all in. I'll watch every post game now. If you guys can, if they continue to keep it at Toby Keith's, I Love This Bar, I'm going to watch every single one. It's going to be like gladiator games after a while.
I totally forgot about the banging on the window, though. And that sort of that sort of became a thing too, didn't it? Where it was it was like almost became a challenge, like who can cause the most problems for the people in the booth. And then Felder got really upset.
Freaked out. Where there ended up being police out front.
Felger asked for security.
Well, I mean, he didn't want people banging while he was trying to do his thing. And I know that Tony Amani started swearing. He was so freaked out. He was like, they're going to break down the blanking glass. Like, and he's like, oops, we're on television. But all that being said, Troy Brown not making me feel too good about the receiving core. He is fairly worried about the situation that the Patriots are in. I think he said a 9 out of 10. That he was worried with the receivers. Are you in the same boat as Troy Brown was last night?
Well, I mean, we know Edelman's not there for the first four games, and we don't know what he's going to have when he comes back. Remember, he's coming off a PED suspension and an ACL. I mean, Chris Hogan, I think, will be fine. That's the one, I think, piece of certainty you have there. After that, I mean, we're looking at a bunch of unknowns and veteran guys that have serious questions. Me, Eric Decker, I mean, two teams have gotten rid of him the last couple of years because he can't run anymore. They don't believe he can run anymore. He's not catching contested balls the same way. For Daryl Patterson, I'm not sure what you get out of him on offense. The Raiders, the Vikings tried to find ways to make it outside of special teams and weren't able to. So he's got a lot of questions. And I'm not quite sure where they go from there.
All right. Well, Bert Breer, safe travels. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you next week.
The train is in the background. I appreciate that.
All right, thanks, man.
There you go.
Dude,
there it is.
It's going to be great. If they keep him at Toby Keith's I Love This Bar for the entire season, it's going to be must-watch television. Because as I said, yesterday was game one of the preseason. And there are already people flexing and I mean, you're going to see male nudity before the end of the season.
All right. Is there really a special guest?
What?
You had written on the Cozy special guest.
Oh, no, that was the Robert Kraft thing that I played there.
Oh, okay.
That was it, yeah. He was a special guest yesterday on the broadcast. He just kind of wandered in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool with me.
That is. All right, here are the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
But what do you hope to get out of the first half?
We need to do pretty much everything better. Just not good enough in any area.
It's good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway.
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
You had a lot to get going on.
All right.
Good luck in the second half, Coach.
Thank you.
All right. That's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Guys, let's go back up to you.
Mick Foley is scheduled to come in at 8 o'clock, and shockingly, neither Sarge or Jay Stu are coming into studio.
Jay Stu wanted to come in.
Yeah, but I have hairballs.
Yeah.
And I would have just sat here hacking.
Yeah, he wanted to come in, so he is not going to be here. And
I have to clean myself with my tongue.
It's kitty litter Jabe Stewart.
The idea was to slash Foley's head.
That would not be a good thing to do, I don't think.
Like it was a cage match.
Yeah, he probably would not enjoy that.
And I could climb up the cage so easily.
Because you are indeed a cat, yes.
Yeah. Hey, I'm in a tree, stupid.
How'd you get in a tree so fast?
I climbed a dumbass. Okay,
right. Are you scared of something, or you just decided to climb?
No, I'm not scared of anything. Except for light bulbs.
Light bulbs?
Or flashlights.
All right. Speaking of James...
They give me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay. Speaking of James Stewart, we got a tweet this morning, and I saw somebody tweeted at me yesterday, too, is that according to these guys, I guess Michael Felger put $15,000, I'm hearing, on the Redskins to win yesterday with 3 points.
Joe Marie's on the phone.
Okay, with 3 points. And first of all, if you're betting on preseason football, you have a problem.
Why would he do this in the first place?
I don't know why. Why would you do that? B, why would you put that much money on a preseason game? And apparently...
Sometimes I wear a green visor when I play cards.
I defended this gentleman. I said, the
just
bank...
Just like in Just One of the Guys.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Kitty Litter James Stewart. I defended.
Cover,
I said, the bankroll boys would never recommend that he do that. And I'm hearing that Joe Murray actually gave his blessing on that bet. Joe Murray, is that true?
That is untrue. I would never bet on a preseason game. Now, I have done it before in the past, just for giggles. That third preseason game, the dress rehearsal, that might be a game where you dabble if you're really bored. But from what I heard is that Felger, because they didn't really practice hard all week long, he thought it was like the mortal lock of the century to go with the Redskins. And you know what? He was almost right until they fumbled the football. And Geno Grissom went all the way down, which was almost a touchdown. Somebody got in his way. But we call that the backdoor cover for the Patriots yesterday.
Okay, so for you, and you're someone who is like what are some of the more ridiculous things that you'll gamble on? Like you'll hunt out a sport to gamble on, right?
Yeah, I mean, for instance, UFC. The last three pay-per-views, if you bet every single underdog on the card, just whatever, $50, $100 on every single game, you'll win money in the end of it. And especially in UFC, it's cashed. And we have a podcast over under 985 here at the station, and we've told listeners, do this the last two pay-per-views, and it's worked. So that's one thing where I've made money.
I'm trying to put in perspective, like, just how much of a degenerate gambler you have to be to gamble on week one of the NFL preseason. And you won't even do it, and you've gambled on, like, horse racing in different countries.
Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I just think it's a real gamble. That's a legit real gamble. It's crazy, guys. It's absolutely crazy. And I don't even know how you can forecast these games. You don't know who's going to play. I mean, maybe you think Brady might get a snap. He doesn't. You know what I mean? So
there's no way Felger did that. That was his way of saying crappy the Patriots are.
There's no way he actually – do you think he actually followed through that? I think that there's no way.
No, I don't, actually. I don't think he would have went through. I think I would have got a phone call if he did. But no.
Does he turn to you for advice?
It's happened. He's called me before. I mean, I know he's a big Packers fan. I know we've tried to hedge some. I've tried to help him hedge on a few bets.
So you're his guy. You're his connection.
Well, I'm not his main guy or anything like that, but I have talked to him before about it.
Is he at plus or minus with you?
We're even. We're even.
Okay. All right. So he's
his buddy Maz, though, on the other hand. No, he's in the red.
All right.
Who gambles more, Felger or Maz?
From my point of view, Maz.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And he's no good at picking winners. You're saying?
No. You know, Maz is like, I want to go against like the Boston parlay. Like, for example, when the Celtics and Bruins were in the playoffs and they're playing a game, and the Red Sox are playing, he goes against all three teams.
That might be the least surprising thing that you could have said this morning, that he would do that. Now, you're not so much of a degenerate gambler that you bet on the Little League World Series, are you?
No way. I would never touch that. I have done like College World Series, and I know nothing about it. But it's only because I got a tip. Hey, this pitcher is really good. You might want to lean against this guy. All right, sure, let's do it.
No, Little League World Series is a lock. If you find out that the kid that's pitching throws like, you know, from that mound, throws like 90, 85, then you take that kid every time.
Okay, so
I think Little League World Series, if you know about the kid who's pitching, is a pretty solid bet.
Yeah, there's also like this thing. I guess a kid hit a home run yesterday. They're claiming he's 12 years old. Maybe we got to ride that kid out for the rest of the World Series.
Right. See, I just think there's something wrong with your soul if you're researching like 10 and 12-year-old kids and figuring out how to make money off of them. Maybe that's just me. It just seems like it's bad for the soul.
Doesn't have anything to do with the kids. I mean, you're not going out there and yelling at them. I mean, a bet in Boston doesn't affect some kid from Oklahoma.
I'm sure if you ask Bird, they have bet on Everett High School football.
Oh,
considering how many times they've been in the Super Bowl, I guarantee it's happened in the parking lot on Route 15.
And I'm also going to bet you that Bird's been on the sideline of Everett football games every game since 1992.
I would take the over on that.
Yes. All right. Joe Murray, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. I
always cover.
Yes. Kenny Limmer, James.
Scratch, cover.
That's sure. Right. It's to cover up the feces that you left.
Yeah, my feces.
Yes, right. You got to make sure the smell is.
And then I get it on my paws and then jump on the counter.
It's probably not a good thing to do. Not very sanitary.
What do I care, stupid?
That's right. You're not the one eating off that counter. That's right.
That's right. I eat on a mat.
Okay.
They put the bowls on a mat and I eat there.
But you don't just run out and get the food. You kind of just hide until...
You make people wait for you to show up.
I hide, and then when I hear the electric can opener, I come scooting in.
Okay.
I stand at the door, and I go, meow.
Give me a little fancy feast.
Fancy feast is for... That's ghetto.
Really, what do you eat?
Yeah, what's the food of choice now?
I got kidney problems. I need to eat special food. I pee blood.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in a few fracases.
Okay, you have kidney litter, James Stewart.
What is it to you?
I didn't know that it was that bad of a situation with you.
Yeah, maybe I'm carrying something. Maybe I scratch your face.
I hope you won't. Do not scratch my face.
And give me some blood disease.
And do not scratch Mankind's face when he comes in. That would not be a nice thing to do.
Yeah, Mankind, my foot.
It's a good line.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't get along with Andy Wong.
Is Kitty Litter James... Is Kitty Litter, Ray Lewis there by any chance?
5-15-75.
Yeah. Yeah. Five times I cover it.
Okay.
15 times I walk on the counter and move it around.
Okay.
And 75 times... I puke on the floor.
Okay, all right.
5-15-75.
Thank Vince. You. Yeah, I appreciate that. Kitty Litter, Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Good luck finding me.
By the way, I'm now hearing that Dan Lifshatz, the other Bankroll Boy, is the one to take the blame for recommending to bet on that game yesterday.
Right. Felger certainly put down $15,000. But what I do know is Felger plays in a very high stakes poker game in Nantucket.
He does. Yes, he does. Saturday.
And that he has a very serious flag football game that he plays on the beach once a year, and that he has tried to pay Zolak to play in the game with him.
What?
According to Zolak, Felger offered him airfare and a place to stay and money to play with on his team.
To get a ringer in there?
Yep.
So you got a bunch of guys wearing salmon pants out there on the beach, shirtless?
No shirts.
No,
unless Felger's the goose of the crew. Like, is he the goose? Does he keep the shirt on?
No, I think they all wear jeans and no shirt.
Right, he's not the goose because, Felger's, probably in decent shape. And Zolak, wants to show off those abs.
Just nothing but a bunch of flip-flops hanging off to the side of the field.
But, I mean, it's a big it's a big day. I guess it's a very serious day.
I think that Felger is slider. He's slider. He's the one who just flexes out of nowhere. There's no explanation to why he flexes. Because he certainly isn't Maverick. No way.
No. You got to figure there's some young buck that's in there taking chances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not
that. He's calling like Statue of Liberty plays, and people are like, are you out of your mind? He's like, it just might work.
Yeah, Felger's the Rick Rossovich of the group. He's definitely slider. And like after the game, Zolak goes up to him and goes, Felger, you stink.
Yeah. I just like the idea that it's like, bro, it's that time again. Beach flag football.
Grab the jeans. It's time to party.
And they're jeans from like some store like Mr. Sid that are like $800.
I one time got to interview Tom Cruise, and the first question I asked him is, why were you playing beach volleyball in jeans?
And what did he say? Like he gave you like a hypnotic look?
No, he just kind of like started laughing and didn't answer it.
Yeah.
This angle is it.
You know who's really fast? No.
What's that?
On the phones.
What's that?
Our own Nicholas Jelani.
Is he really?
This guy, minute and 4 seconds, he doesn't have the stuff up. It's pretty unacceptable, actually.
All right, so we'll be back. We're just counting down until Mick Foley comes in. A little upset that Jimmy Stu and the gang's not going to be here. No belts will be in studio, but we'll have that for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what do you got?
All right. So you might have seen the video that came out yesterday, and we talked to Burt Breer briefly about it. But Kelvin Benjamin, who obviously used to play for the Carolina Panthers with Cam Newton, he opened up his mouth earlier this week talking about his time with Cam Newton and wasn't very nice about the things that he said. So, matter of fact, his quote was, "I mean, I felt like I would have been more successful if I would have been, looking back on it, I should have been drafted by somebody else. I should have never went to Carolina. Truly, I just think Carolina was bad for me. It was a bad fit from the get-go. If you would have put me with any other quarterback, let's be real, you know what I'm saying? Any other accurate quarterback, like Rodgers or Eli Manning or Big Ben, anybody, quarterbacks with knowledge that know how to place a ball and give you a better chance to catch the ball, it just felt like I wasn't in that position." I mean, Kelvin Benjamin basically just called out Cam Newton saying that he sucked. So yesterday, the two of them were on the same field. The Bills, who are he's now playing for, and Carolina were playing each other. And the one thing I'll give Cam Newton, and there's times where I just can't stand Cam Newton. I think he's, you know, kind of like a fake nice guy, and I think that, you know, the way he does that fake laugh at the press conferences and stuff, and walks out when he's got questions after a loss, he never takes it well. Yesterday, he did something that I thought was kind of great. He walked right up to Kelvin Benjamin when Kelvin Benjamin was on the field, like before the game, and just got right in his face and started just looking him up and down like this. And he's like, "What the hell did you do that for?" Now, you can't hear the audio of them talking, but while he's doing that, Kelvin Benjamin just keeps trying to walk away from Cam Newton. And Cam Newton, for almost a full minute, just follows him around and will not get out of his face. As much as Kelvin Benjamin wants none of this, Cam Newton just said, "I am going to make you face me," after you made those comments, and just continued to follow him around the field. And it went on for like a full, uncomfortable 60 seconds.
Wow.
It was great. I mean, it was the one thing I was like, good for you, Cam Newton. You know, someone talks so much. And I didn't know that, you know, the one thing about Cam Newton I've never heard is his teammates call him out, that they didn't like him. I know that there's other people who can't stand him, and that, you know, he rubs some people the wrong way. But I always thought he was somewhat embraced by his own teammates. Is there something I'm missing between him and Kelvin Benjamin that happened? Like, did he put him in a bad spot at some point? And I'm just not remembering it.
Well, receivers always think that they deserve the ball more. So, you know, maybe he feels that, you know, he didn't get the ball enough.
Well,
to any receiver in the NFL, and they're going to tell you, literally any receiver, they're going to tell you that they don't get the ball out.
But he goes further than that. He doesn't just, because I would understand that, because Cam runs the ball a lot. But he said another accurate quarterback like Rodgers or Eli Manning or Big Ben, anybody, quarterbacks with knowledge that know how to place a ball and give you a better chance to catch the ball. I mean, that's, you're just saying you suck, Cam Newton. So Kelvin Benjamin, after the game, was asked about it.
I mean, I was just moving on from it, I guess.
What did he say to you?
I mean, not serious, man.
What did he say to you?
Moving on from it.
It looked like you tried to walk away from him a few times.
Huh?
It looked like you tried to walk away from him a few times.
Yeah, I was just moving on from
it. You didn't want to get into it.
Yeah. What was he trying to say to you?
I don't even know. I wasn't even trying to listen.
Yes. So Kelvin Benjamin, even there, doesn't even want to address it, doesn't even want to talk about it. So he throws that out there into the universe, and then Cam Newton gets right in his face. He just starts trying to walk away, and Cam won't let him. So good on Cam Newton. I actually thought that was probably the best move you could have made.
Cam's different than every other quarterback, too. He's not the most accurate guy. If you take a look at his passing numbers, he's not an accurate guy because Carolina's offense is predicated on him running the football a ton. And if he doesn't run the football, his ability to escape the rush and find guys.
But he's given some of his receivers big numbers. Well, I mean, it's like you can't just say he's a bad passer. He's not.
What Carolina wide receiver is Pro Bowl caliber? What Carolina wideout goes for 1,200 or 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns? It doesn't happen. they drafted Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, remember him coming out of college?
Yes.
He was supposed to be this physical, and he is a physical specimen, and then he got hurt, and it didn't work out. Being a wide receiver in a Cam Newton offense is to be second or third string. You have Cam Newton running the football. You have Cam Newton handing the ball off, because now they have McCaffrey to hand the ball off to. But they've had a lot of good backs there, too. If you're a receiver, you're third on the depth chart as far as offensive importance.
All right, real quick. Someone online once says, I have the story all wrong. I would like to hear what they have to say.
All right, and then Mick Foley's coming.
Okay, Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, so, Rich, you need to watch that video again. Cam Newton comes up to Kelvin Benjamin all smiles. He goes to shake his hand, and Kelvin Benjamin's the one who will not shake his hand. He walks away from him, and Cam is shocked. His face is all out of sorts.
Yeah, it's exactly right. He walks up and goes to like, hey, how's it going? Like, it's right in his face. So, you know, I heard you've been talking about me, and Kelvin Benjamin wants nothing to do with it and walks away like a coward.
I don't know about a coward. I think Cam's the one who's more shocked because he will not shake his hand.
Right,
he's
it sounds like...
him, and he's all... that he will not shake his hand.
Yeah, so you're saying that Cam Newton was trying to bury the hatchet and Kelvin Benjamin wouldn't
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. He was all smiles when he walked up to him, and Kelvin Benjamin just would not put out his hand to shake his hand. So that's what I got.
Well, I believe you, Rich.
And he wouldn't leave him alone. I don't think it was, hey, let's be buddies.
If
I saw you just call me an awful quarterback, let's be buddies.
If he comes up with a smile on his face and then offers to shake the guy's hand... and the guy won't shake his hand and walks away.
No. It was like a, hey, man, heard you've been talking about me. Why don't you? Because he got right in his face and started eyeing him up and down. You can hear the beginning of it. You actually can't hear the very beginning of it.
Well,
and he's eyeing him up and down like that. No, this was not a friendly moment.
Well,
this was a, I'm about to call you out. Get ready.
I don't believe you.
Well, what he said did happen. I mean, he did go out and put his hand out.
Yeah. Sounds to me
but
like
I don't think it was, hey, let's have a powwow. let's bury the hatchet. I don't think it was that kind of handshake.
Well, you know what? I'll take it to my grave. I disagree with you. All right. We have Mick Foley. He's going to be coming in studio. It's very depressing that James Stewart or Sarge is not here. I just.